It was designed to punish. It was created to kill. It was meant to showcase earthly power on the side of a hill. It was wood and rope. It was hammer and nails. It was degradation, then death. And it never failed. It was chosen to stop the Christ, to erase the message he taught. It was the bitter end of Jesus. At least, that's what they thought. It was intended to defeat, to put down, to make the disciples give up. But instead, it became the symbol of God's love. The icon of death became the icon of true living. What once marked the end is now the mark of the beginning. A mark of forgiveness, of new life, of new birth. What began at Calvary now covers the earth. Over cities, over hospitals, through the streets, through homes. The picture of God's sacrifice is our picture of hope. The lasting image of our Savior and salvation's great cost. This is more than a symbol. This is the cross.
Happy Easter. Will you please stand with me as we begin worship this morning?
Salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his time is best. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and nevermore will be. Of heaven, he's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that day is coming, he's returning to give his life, by the altar, we will burn it. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life?
Try that again. Happy Easter, everyone. Awesome. He's a risen Lord today, isn't he? He is. You know, I'm really excited. We had a great day yesterday at an egg hunt of all things, and we had like 100 kids there. It was awesome. But I don't want to forget why we have Easter. We have Easter because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved us so much that the Father sent Jesus to this world to die for our sins on a cross on Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, something completely unprecedented, he rose from the dead. And that's amazing. So today we are celebrating that. We're celebrating him rising from the dead. We're celebrating that Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself for our sins, that we don't have to hold on to that anymore, that we are free in Jesus today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, as we continue into this service today, that we can come into your presence, that we are allowed to do that, that we are allowed to be in your presence, Father God. Thank you so much. And I pray, Jesus, that throughout this service, you would be in our hearts and on our minds today. In your name, amen.
returns or calls me home. Here in the blood of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ we stand. Shame is a prison cold as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is a power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave that'll hold my body down.
Oh,
the grave I'm walking to. If he walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If he walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If he walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If he walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
Went out when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake. And the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail, King Jesus. All hail, the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail, King. All hail the Savior of the world. There was a moment when join with all of heaven.
Could have commanded anything of us, God. But all you ask is that we believe in you and that we believe in your sacrifice and what you've done for us. I thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. You've overcome death and the grave. We don't have to fear death because of you. You've saved us. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Take a moment and say hi to some folks this morning.
I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up patch me up like you do every time. I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way you ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you find me praising your name no matter what comes. Cause I know I can't.
Interesting. Well, these are kids running across a bridge. They're all very excited about something. Where are they going? They're following a treasure map of some sort. Oh my goodness, it's Breaker Rock Beach. They're very excited about Breaker Rock Beach. And they're all singing the song about Breaker Rock Beach right now. It's an amazing song. You'll all definitely have to hear this song sometime. But not this time, apparently. Look at that. They're having a blast. Yeah, finding all the cool things on Breaker Rock Beach. Oh, look, scripture. Romans 12:2, yeah. Believe it or not, I tested this ahead of time. If it happens tomorrow at divorce care, she's calling me. Yeah. Huh. The intro video played, though. Yeah, I know. You know, what's really cool is we have Breaker Rock Beach coming up. But what I'm going to talk about before Breaker Rock Beach is youth camp. So we have youth camp coming up, and that is going to be May 29th through June 1st, and we're going to be with Elise Wood, who's going to be our speaker there. It's $175 per student. So if you have any teenagers, know any teenagers that would like to go, or yes, they want to go, trust me, they all want to go to youth camp. It's awesome. I encourage you to let them know, hey, youth camp is happening and we want them all to come. All right? Exciting? Yes. Also upcoming, and this is a new slide, we have Breaker Rock Beach coming up, which is our first VBS in a very long time. Some of you who have been in the church longer could probably, have you guys done, I mean, you guys have been in the church longer than I have. Was there a lot of VBSs that happened? Yeah? So we're bringing VBS back. Yes. So if you go to the Life 360 website, it's not up in the link to get in there is not quite up and running yet. It will be, but it's not yet. But you can scan that QR code with that cute little Life 360 in the middle of it, and it will take you to the registration page so that you can register for how many students will be there. What's really kind of cool is it is going to be July 8th through 12th, 9 to noon. It's completely free for any of the kids that want to come. But we have an optional, and it's $25, but it's an optional field trip on Friday to Wonders of Wildlife. And we're building this into our summer camp for the Bear's Den. I have information on the back table for not only Breaker Rock Beach, so you can hand out the flyers for that, but we also have our summer camp information back there as well. And I'll be getting more information out about that shortly on the slides and stuff. But every single week for summer camp, we have a theme. And then on the Friday of that summer camp is a field trip. So one of the weeks we're going to be doing a science theme, so they're going to go to the Discovery Center. We have a caves thing, and we're going to go visit a cave, and we're going to do some really cool stuff. So I was talking to some kids yesterday about it when we were at the egg hunt, and the kids were just excited. Like, this sounds awesome. I really want to go to this. All right, cool. So yeah, really interested in that. That flyer's back there on the table. I think it's green today, and it's got Miss Dina's card on it. And you can actually just call her or email her and say, hey, my kid is interested. Or if you know kids that are interested, we can get them signed up for summer camp. Can you believe summer camp is what we're talking about? Can you believe it? Guess what tomorrow is? April. Anyone like, wow, where'd that come in? So it's actually one of my favorite holidays as well tomorrow. So, we have sandcastles for Breaker Rock Beach. We're starting to get all the stuff in. It's really kind of fun. So, yeah, I encourage you guys, check that out. If you know of any kids that you think would fit the profile for coming, we're looking for kindergarten through sixth grade for summer camps and for VBS. Definitely have them come. Also, on that green flyer back there is Summer Family Nights. How many of you guys remember Summer Family Nights from last year? Yeah. So we're not doing them every week like we did last year. We kind of felt like that was a lot to do. So we're actually doing it twice a month. Yeah. So it kind of breaks it up, and it's still going to be on Thursdays, so Thursday nights, and the dates are all on the flyer back there, and I'll get a slide put together and all that fun stuff as well. So, all right. Cool beans. And we have so much summer stuff coming. It's going to be a blast. Yeah, family nights is any age. So from birth to knocking on heaven's doors. There we go. All right. Women's group. Warriors at the Well. No meeting this today. I talked to Miss Merlina, and I said, I'm just going to be mean and say you're not meeting tonight. So you can blame me. The pastor called it off. Something about, you know, I think we should all spend time with our families on Easter. I'm mean like that, though. I'm just kidding. But yeah, definitely I recommend that you come if you're a woman next Sunday. So divorce care is happening tomorrow night. So anyone who is available and wants to come for divorce care, it'll be 6:30 right here. I encourage you to come. All right. We have, I believe, 3 life journals left over there. And I might have to get more. I'm going to see how the last 3 go. And, So Life Journals is kind of, it's a devotional that many of us are doing in the church. It's optional for you guys. You don't have to do it. It's not a requirement. It's not one of those things that's a token into heaven or not, but it definitely is one of those things that'll help you get closer to God. So I encourage you, if you don't have a Life Journal, to go ahead, pick one up, and spend some time in the Word. Baptism Sunday is April 14th. So we're gonna bring the water trough down here. We're going to set it up right down here because when it's full of water, it doesn't want to be on the stage very nicely. It gets very heavy. And so afterwards, we're going to have lunch here at the church. So I thought that would be a great time for us to celebrate those folks that have been baptized and to have some fellowship together. All right? If you'd like to follow along, you can use your Faith Life Study Bible app, and you can follow along with the slides and all of the scripture that's going to be up on the screen. So, but for right now, kiddos, if you would please make your way to Kids Church. I think Miss Leah has got some fun things today. Everyone say, bye, kids. All right, now it's adult time, everyone. They are. They are. Hold on. I think. All right. Nursery fun. So, you guys excited about Easter? I love Easter. But let's go ahead and take up our tithes and offerings this morning. The QR code is on the screen right there. If you're interested in giving online, you can scan that. It'll take you to the website for giving. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we get to celebrate your resurrection, not just your life, but your resurrection. And I thank you, Lord, for the giving hearts of the people of the church so we could continue to serve our community because of what you provided for us. In your name, amen. All right. Yeah, so we participated yesterday in the community Easter egg hunt. You guys saw it. It was in your backyard, basically. And I was told that there was 99 boys and girls that showed up for that event. I was like, we just need one more. That was the first time the Community Days folks had done that event. And I'm really happy we got to partner with them. Leah and I got to help out with the crafts, and it was really, really, really fun. It was kind of a madhouse, huh? And Annabelle, who's a young lady who comes here, won a cake. There were seven teenagers. Okay, I want you to hear this. Seven teenagers showed up to an Easter egg hunt and participated. And you know what's amazing? And we chalked this up to a victory. I was talking to Debbie, who's the vice president of the Community Days committee folks. And we were staring over at the kids as they were decorating and eating their cupcakes. And guess what? A miracle happened. None of them were on their phones. None of them. So we chalked that up to a victory for an event. Whenever we can hold a service or we can hold an event or whatever it is and the teenagers don't pull out their phones. They socialized. So, I'm excited. Well, today we're going to be talking about risen for a reason. What? It's a very big line. Yes, he's risen for a reason. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 25 shortly. But first, I would like to tell you the story of Easter. Does that sound good? So we're going to be in John chapter 19, verse 17 to 37. It says this. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to He said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate replied, "No. What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. That's one of those things you can't control, and yet it came true. Prophecy fulfilled. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked the sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken, then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you may continue to believe. These things happened in fulfillment of Scripture that says, "Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they pierced." Early on Sunday morning, we're continuing on John 20. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, John again. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John was a little full of himself, just so you're aware. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and believed. For until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting in the head and one on the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they put him." It's a reasonable statement, right? She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, don't tell me where you've put him, and I'll go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave him this message. First question, because I like asking questions. Why did Jesus die? For our sins, but why did he have to die? To face death, okay. To fulfill prophecy, for sure. There had to be a payment for our sins. All good answers. So why is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, important? To fulfill prophecy, right? Again, to fulfill prophecy, but why? Really? Why? Why would it be pointless? I mean, he's died, so our sins are forgiven, right? Let's look at how this happens, right? If by his death our sins are forgiven, why does he have to raise again? We don't serve a dead God. I like that. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. Ah. So that sins can continue to be forgiven. Oh, that's a good answer, too. I like that one. So here's a question. If someone came to you and told you that they had seen someone who was raised from the dead, would you believe them? Let's be honest here. I'm asking you to take this moment and be like, you had some guy, maybe you'd known him for years or whatever it is. He goes, "Dude, you remember Joe who died like last week? He's alive again." I don't know. I'm kind of like, I wasn't in the tomb of Lazarus. Maybe that was like staged. I mean, definitely in this world, they would definitely be saying like that was staged. They'd be arguing about that, debating all that. I can just imagine all that on like CNN or something. They're debating. You get a panel. It definitely made some headlines, right? Jesus raising from the dead. It would have turned some heads, right? Definitely. But here's the thing, before we even get to Easter, before we get to Christ's resurrection, he has to experience the cross. I made a cross this week. I actually made this. It's out of the garden wood, yes. We have a bunch of wood that we have sitting at our house, and I was like, I'll use that. That'll work. And what was the cross? Does anyone know what the cross was? I'm in my teacher mode right now, I think. Yeah, it was an execution tool. So the idea is like, for instance, I'd take Elizabeth. You can put your phone down. Yeah, come here. So she's a murderer. And what you would do is you'd have a hand there. You'd have a hand there. Well, this is kind of small for you. This is more like a Matthias-sized cross. And then I'd tie your feet and I'd tie your hands to the cross. And then I would take nails, like big ones, and then I would put it straight through. They say it was here, but Jesus said to put the finger through the hole in his hands. So I'm just going to go with hands for today. We could discuss whether it was wrists or hands later if you want to really get into that. I really just don't want to have that discussion right now. It could have been multiple nails. You never know. So I have some nails here. What, you're not interested?
No.
Okay. Maybe later. So anyway, so he goes up on the... Oh, no, they're not. So here's what they would do. They would put the man up on the cross. And let's talk about the cross, okay? How many people do you know died on a cross? No. You know their name. How many people do you know their name that they died on the cross? Only Jesus, right? This hill? We never learned the name of the other two guys. You'll figure them out. You'll know who they are when you get to heaven. But here's the deal. This hill, they did this all the time. All the time. This is where they performed public execution in Jerusalem. For murderers, for political prisoners, all sorts of bad characters, or people that they just didn't like. They'd throw them up on the cross. And what would happen is it was a torture device. It wasn't just an execution, it was a torture device. Because how your arms work is if you're hanging from your arms like this, you can't expand and contract your diaphragm, which means you can't breathe. So what you would have to do is they had this little thing at the bottom where your feet would be nailed together like this. Let me do this. And then what you would do in order to be able to breathe, you had to push up. But it would cause so much pain in your feet to push up because you're pushing up not on that block of wood, you're pushing on the nail in your feet. And when you release your air, or your legs or your feet, whatever, would get tired, you'd bend your legs back down. And you'd be like this again. And now the pain is in your hands or your wrists. We won't get into where the nail was because that'll just take all day, trust me. Because we could talk about ligaments and bones and all this other stuff later. But can you understand? The mere act of breathing is torture. Death on the cross was not meant to be like lethal injection or electric chair or anything like that. Some of these more modern ways of execution that we consider more humane. This was dehumanizing. More than that, to be hung on a tree in the Jewish custom was embarrassing and demeaning. Embarrassing and demeaning. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, suffered. And that was when he got to the cross. Before then, he'd already been mutilated by whipping. That crown of thorns wasn't just something they set on his head. They put it on his head and smashed it down with rods. Thorns threw into his skull. The thieves that were put up next to him, they had stolen from the Roman Empire. They were political prisoners. Thieves, murderers, all sorts of really, really bad people. And that's where we find Jesus. With some really, really bad people in his last moments. Christ's death and resurrection changed everything, though. Before this time, everyone had to follow the law of Moses to the letter. when it came to animal sacrifice for sins. Christ changed that, though. He is what the book of Hebrews says is our new priest. Let me read that. Now we get into our verse for today. Hebrews 10, 1 to 18 says this: "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews lived under the law of Moses. They had put it on this massive pedestal because this is how you're saved from your sins. This is how you are justified to the Lord God. And here in the book of Hebrews, they're saying the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come." Amen. That's a good thing, y'all. "The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide the perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. First Christ said, You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Then he said, Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Christ Jesus. Just once was all that was needed for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. The old sacrificial system had to be repeated year after year. Every single year, they would take lambs, goats, bulls, pigeons, doves, all sorts of different animals. You'd have to slit their throat, drain their blood, throw them on the altar, burn them completely up. One of the lambs, the priest would put their hands on it, and they would transfer all of the sins of Israel into this lamb, and then they'd send it off into the wilderness by itself. With the blood of the sacrificial lamb poured upon it. All of these things. In all of that work, it never provided a perfect cleansing. there would always be feelings of guilt. The old covenant, it was kind of like an if-then thing. If you sinned, then you sacrificed. If you sacrificed, then you were saved. But for how long? I mean, how many times have you sinned in the last 24 hours? But your sins were only forgiven once a year. If then. Sacrifice. I can just imagine how many animals would have to die for the life that I've lived. I've got a trail of blood right behind me is what would happen. Christ said that God provided his body as an offering. Christ's sacrifice made for a new covenant. Christ made the offering for everyone who is being made holy. He said, I'll put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. It's not new laws, folks. It's the same ones. But because of Christ's sacrifice, we've been forgiven. More than forgiven, our sins have been forgotten. Let me show you what I mean. I love how Colossians 2, 13 to 15 puts it. I'm going to read it. The reason why I always have this thing up here. It says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We have to have the cross. Hebrews continues on and says this. Oh, I'll get to that in a second. I want to show you what that means. Can I show you what that means? You want to do an object lesson? You want to help me with it? All right. Cool. What I need you to do, I'm going to have my girls help me. Come on up. And what we're going to do is, I want you guys to get some paper out. Okay? And you're going to take this Sharpie, and you're going to start writing down some sins, okay? All right? You can write down your sins. Oops, sorry. Sorry, cross. You can write down your sins. You can write down any sins you want. Here, you want a pen? All right, here you go. Come on over. You can use the pulpit, okay? You can use the pulpit to write it down. So we're Colossians 2. They're going to start writing down some sins on one sheet of paper per sin, okay? We don't need to have more than one sheet of paper per sin, do we? No. So it said, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. How many? All of them. What about that one that like you've had since you were like a kid and you've held on to it forever? Did he forgive you that one too? Yeah. About that one that you committed when you were a teenager? Did he forgive you that one too? Yeah? When? When you ask for forgiveness, yeah, no, that's good, yeah. But when did he make the sacrifice for it? When he died on the cross. So let me get this straight. Jesus, who was alive 2,000 years ago, had to have all of the sins of your life put upon him 2,000 years ago, and yet you've committed them 2,000 years later. You have to confess it. Lord, I did this thing. It's terrible. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And what happens to that sin? It's gone. Why? Because he washed it away. It's already been nailed to the cross. It was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago, right? So 2,000 years ago, it was nailed to the cross. So how many do we got? All right. I need your help. So let's bring that over here, and we're going to lay our cross down, okay? That's okay. Pulpit cleans. All right. So we got our cross. It's going to lay it down. Why don't you give all those to Abigail, give all those to Elizabeth, and you're going to be my mic stand, okay? All right. Come on. You're going to hand them to me. All right. So here's our nails. Here's our nails. Like I said, these are the nails, right? So we're going to start putting these on. What do we got here? Eating with bad manners? What is that? Eating all the Nutella? We'll call that gluttony. And what happened? The scripture said what? The sins were nailed to the cross, right? Nailed to the cross. What do we got now?
Suicide.
Suicide. What do we got?
Stealing.
Has anyone ever stolen anything? Oh, it's okay. You don't need to raise your hand on that one. Not listening to your parents. Honor your mother and father, right? It's the only, it's one of the scriptures, it's one of the promises in the, it's, sorry, it's one of the commands in the Bible that comes with a promise. Because if you honor your mother and father, your life will go well. I'm not looking at anyone in particular on that one.
Yes.
I'm not aiming for my thumb. What do we got here? Saying God's name in vain. How many of you guys have done that?
Yeah?
Yeah. So it's all getting nailed to the cross, right? I love how many there are here. Some sins don't need to be repeated in the church. All right, what do we got? Incest. Yeah, that honestly, that's a thing.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what the heck?
Wow.
Oh my gosh,
why don't you put them down on the cross?
Okay. All seven of those
are
mine.
All right, what do we got next?
Self-harm.
Here. Okay. Self-harm. Not hurting myself. All right, what we got next? Cursing. Swearing.
Yeah. Everyone can hear you, Dad. I think you need to.
It's the microphone. It's for the recording. All right, what do we got next?
Deceit.
Go ahead.
No idea if I spelled that right. You didn't.
What do we got next?
Lying.
Lying. What do we got next?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Anyone ever be jealous before?
No one? Okay.
Nobody's
I
jealous?
Have. I have. Yes. Yeah. Not even of your friend's pudding cup in second grade. Man. I don't know. Anger.
Anger. All right, so let's put this up. So here's the thing. The scripture literally says that all of these sins have been nailed to the cross. But he canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Every single one of these is a debt. Every single one of these represents something that we've done against God. We deserve to die. And we have to confess our sins. We could add other sins to this, couldn't we? I could have had my kids going on for days with this, I think. Different, better ones? Because there's better sins? We could have filled this thing all up, couldn't we? Yeah. Cursing, swearing, drugs, sex. What else are you thinking? I mean, what other sins have we got here? What? Selfishness. What else? Pride. Pride would be like a big sheet sometimes because we get big on our pride. Envy. How about not taking a Sabbath? I'm pretty sure that's one of the big ten, right? You got to take a Sabbath. Did you know that? Jesus says take a break. Every 7 days, take a break. But here's the thing. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he became our sacrifice. And what did they do to the old sacrifices? They burnt them, right? So all of these sins were burned away. Gone. Gone. Forgotten. You can't find them anymore. You can't even find anything left from them. But what's still there? The nails. The sin itself is gone. But the nails are still there. So who doesn't forget? No, Jesus forgets. We don't forget. Sometimes we don't forget. And I think the reason why that happens has less to do with the fact that we're in a fallen world, but because, honestly, we need the reminder of the things we've done bad. We need to be reminded we don't need to be guilty. We need to be reminded we don't need to be depressed. Because what's the truth? The truth is it's all gone. And Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Jesus is risen. Our sins are nailed on the cross with Jesus, but when he died, they were gone, forgiven. So what do? Hebrews 10:19-25 says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Guilt, shame, all of those feelings that accompany our sins, once your sins are confessed and forgiven to Christ, they're forgotten. They're gone. The only thing holding on to the sins and shame after forgiveness is you. The only one keeping you away from the closeness that God wants to have with you is you. You can't blame the devil. Once you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, he fights your spiritual battles for you. The devil loses every time. You're not in the middle of that battle. Sometimes you can think of it like, sometimes we tend to think of it as like moms and dads when they fight and the kids feel like they're in the middle of it. You're not. You are covered by God. You are behind him and he is fighting for you. He is between you and the enemy. The enemy can't get to you. Do you understand that? I want that to get through to your heads. The enemy can't get to you. He's fighting for you. You're not in the middle of the fight. Once you've been forgiveness, enter boldly into the presence of God. God, I'm so dirty and just all these things. Just, I'm no good. You don't want anything. No, you've been forgiveness. You have forgiveness. Go in there. God, I'm here. What do you got? Let's do it. Be bold. What does bold mean? Well, kind of straightforward, but what else does it mean? Huh? Unafraid. Extra spicy. I call it extra spicy. I like that phrase. So, like, we just bought some goldfish for the kids' church, and we got regular goldfish, and we have flavor blasted goldfish. This like double dipped into the cheese sauce goldfish. That's bold. Y'all are flavor blasted in Jesus. You're flavor blasted. Come on. That's my new one, I think. Y'all are flavor blasted. You can trust in God because he's good. You can place your hope in him because he's trustworthy and he keeps his promises. And you can motivate others around you into acts of love and good works. And by all means, don't neglect coming together ever. Whether it's here or at church, or if it's a ladies group, or if it's a personal visit, or whatever it is, don't neglect coming together. Because when you stop meeting together, you lose that motivation. You lose your support, and you become susceptible to the devil again. Not because God moved, because God has created us to be in community. We're created to be together, serving him boldly. All the scripture in this message has been focused on the cross and the death of Jesus and his sacrifice. But what about Easter? What about his resurrection? Simply put, without the resurrection, Jesus is just another dead man. He's just another dead man in a tomb that said some words and made some pretty outlandish claims. Christ's resurrection validates that his claims to be the Son of God are true. It validates what he said is true. Without being risen from the dead, you just count him amongst some of the other false teachers that are out there that said good things. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus was either the Son of God, he was a liar, or he was crazy. But I'm telling you right now, if he raised from the dead, two of those options aren't even possible. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is fully divine. And that's proven. Even the most staunch atheist who does the least amount of research confirms that Jesus was alive after he died on the cross. Look it up. It's true. I'm telling you, it's true. But I'm telling you right now, that doesn't just happen. I mean, think about the question I asked you. How many people would believe if I told you someone was raised from the dead? I'd have to show the proof. Well, Jesus walked around after that. He ate food after that. He was raised to heaven after that. Because Jesus rose again, he's not a dead man in a tomb. He's Christ with us every single day. So that every single sin that we commit can be forgiven again and again and again. I want to invite the worship team up. We're going to do one more song here at the end. But I want to remind you of something. Jesus Christ rose for a reason. And that reason is you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus today? I want to believe that everyone in this room does. But do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe that all of those sins have been nailed to the cross and they're gone? Can you boldly walk into the presence of God not feeling any guilt or shame because those sins are gone? That's what the Lord does. Forgives you. Will you stand with me today? We're going to pray. And if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to pray a prayer, and what I'd like to do is everyone in the room, whether you believe in Jesus already or not, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for raising from the dead. You are the living King of Kings. Please forgive me of my sins. Take away that guilt and shame. Help me to follow you. I love you, Lord. Amen.
tears they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. One final breath He gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high.
We sing hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus has overcome. He's overcome all of our sin, all of our shame, all of the guilt, all of those feelings that we have that would keep us away from Him. Live in freedom today. You've given your heart to Jesus. You've asked for forgiveness. It's over. It's done with. That life is over. It is gone. It is finished. You don't have to go back. You can go boldly into the presence of God and allow Him to change your life. Someone once told me, you're either walking towards the Lord or you're walking away from Him. If you feel like your soul and your spirit are just standing still and you're not going any closer to the Lord, guess what? You're not going towards Him. If you don't have people in your life that are speaking into you and motivating you and pushing you towards greater things in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not only are they not doing what God has called them to do, you're not doing what you've been called to do either. Jesus is calling you for a reason, a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. Not to just go around in emptiness or obscurity. You exist for a reason. Live in that victory. Live in that hope and live in that freedom today. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone in this room that when they walk out of here today, they will be living in their freedom and in the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, all that you've completed, all that you've finished. As you said on the cross, it is finished. Our life from before is finished. The life we lived before is over. Help us to walk in that new life, in that new covenant. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing Easter. Enjoy some family time. And I hope to see you guys again.